as we're running up on the Thanksgiving holiday experience, praying that your lives are enriched with thankfulness and most thankful for the gift of God that Mark is explaining to us here in the gospel and the wonder of who Jesus Christ is and how he desires to be involved in our lives. I wrote this message for November 19th of 2023, titled it Jesus Heals Many, took the text from Mark 7, 31 to 37. My outline, Jesus Heals Many, point one, intercession, point two, aloneness, point three, quietness. So for those of you who are writing down my outline rather than printing it off of the website, intercession, aloneness, and quietness are some of the simplest points I've given you in a long time. My introduction goes like this. Where are we on the map here today? Jesus left the region of Tyre, went through Sidon, back to Galilee Lake, and over to the district of the 10 towns. So Jesus returns from the region of Tyre, and he goes through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee. Jesus traveled about 20 miles north from Tyre and passed through Sidon, which was deep into Gentile territory. From there, Jesus went east, crossed the Jordan River, and then traveled south along the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. All of these places listed are Gentile country. Jesus is avoiding the religious opposition that is developed in Galilee. So our text, Mark 7, 31 to 37, I chose the NIV Reader's Version for us. Then Jesus left the area of Tyre, he went through Sidon, he went down to the Sea of Galilee and went into the area known as the 10 towns. There some people brought a man to him. The man was deaf and could hardly speak. They begged Jesus to place his hand on him. Jesus took the man to one side, away from the crowd, put his fingers into the man's ears, and then spit and touched the man's tongue. Jesus looked up to heaven. With a deep sigh, he said to the man, one of those words I really can't pronounce, I'll pronounce it Ephphatha, which means be open. The man's ears were opened and his tongue was freed up and he began to speak clearly. Jesus ordered the people not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were really amazed. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes deaf people able to hear and makes those who can't speak able to talk. That's the end of Mark 7. So our outline, Jesus Heals Many, let's look at point one, intercession. The action of interceding on behalf of another through the intercession of friends, I was able to obtain healing. So Google and I came up with that one. The definition of intervening on behalf of another through intercession of friends, and its illustration was, I was able to obtain healing. As we are doing our chronological Bible reading this week, there was an account of one who asked Pilate for Jesus' body. That was an interesting fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy that Jesus, the Messiah, would be laid in a rich man's tomb. That intercession was a beautiful act of love. I saw this man interceding and acquiring Jesus' body to give it a proper burial. It also was a tremendously courageous act. Excuse me. But what my attention was drawn to was the description of this person. That's what caught my attention. The Message translation of Mark 15:43 goes like this. Joseph of Arimathea, a highly respected member of the Jewish council came. He was one who lived expectantly on the lookout for the kingdom of God. Working up his courage, he went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body, excuse me, the end. So what caught my attention was he was one who lived expectantly on the lookout for the kingdom of God. Expectant, on the lookout for the kingdom of God. That is an amazing truth that we should reach out and grab onto. Joe lived expectantly, on the lookout for the kingdom of God. He was expecting God to show up. He was looking for events that testified to that, and he was functioning as a part of the kingdom of God. It's a beautiful testimony of this man's faith. What if I were to create a sentence that had a blank for your name, and then it said, lived expectantly on the lookout for the kingdom of God? So in my case, it would be Wilmer, lived expectantly on the lookout for the kingdom of God. Or some people call me Willie. Willie lived expectantly on the lookout for the kingdom of God. And many people call me Bill. Bill lived expectantly on the lookout for the kingdom of God. I think that's a great testimony of faith. Now, is that really us? Are we living expectantly looking for the kingdom as we roll into the Thanksgiving season? Is that what we're looking for? The kingdom? God's kingdom being developed? Or are we so distracted by all the hubbub of a Thanksgiving that we totally blow by looking for kingdom events? Our outline, A, people brought a man to Jesus. People brought a man to Jesus. And I gave you brought as your blank. He could neither hear nor speak. This man could not ask for help. So that's quite plain, isn't it? He couldn't come to Jesus and say, hey, would you help me here? B, the people asked Jesus to lay healing hand on him. People asked Jesus to lay a healing hand on him. And asked is what I gave you for a blank. These people asked for this man. Do you, like me, wonder why this one man is singled out? Of the many people that Jesus is healing, why is this one guy singled out? Can we read this to be an encouragement to us that God does respond to our request on behalf of someone else? Can we do that? Can it encourage us as we walk through this Thanksgiving time and we see the kingdom of darkness oftentimes? Can we be encouraged that if we intercede on behalf of that individual, God could or would respond? Can we then have faith that the people in our life who cannot seem to hear or see the message of the good news can receive help from when we intercede for them? Can we have that kind of faith like these people did? Interceding for the loved ones that we'll be encountering that we obviously see need the kingdom, need Jesus in their life. Can we have faith and do that? Why is it this guy? I wondered about that. Jesus heals many, but this one gets a special attention. Jesus does a very personal thing to this man's eyes and especially his tongue. Jesus asked these people not to talk about his healing because he didn't want to be seen simply as a miracle worker. People tend to be drawn to the activities that are currently exciting. Jesus did not want people to miss the real message. We must not be so concerned about what Jesus can do for us that we forget to listen to his message. There's an incredible distraction. We get so concerned about what Jesus can do to help, even as we intercede for family members around the Thanksgiving event. We get so consumed with what Jesus can do for us that we forget the good news of the gospel. So our outline, Jesus heals many. First, we looked at intercession. Point two, aloneness. A, Jesus took the man off by himself. And the blank is took. Jesus took a man off by himself. Recently, we've been examining the life pattern of Jesus trying to get off by himself to commune with his God. We've looked at that, and we've talked about the life coming from the inside extensively. Now, this week, we see him taking this man off by himself to have an encounter with God. So, do you think these two patterns are trying to show us something? So, Jesus has taken time, and he's trying to disciple his disciples to get quiet time alone. People ask him to heal this guy, and so he takes him off alone from everybody else. Do you think you can connect the dots as to what God is trying to tell us in these two encounters of aloneness? Being on your outline, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears and spit on the man's tongue. B, Jesus put his fingers, as your first blank, into the man's ears is your second blank, and some spit is your third blank, on the man's tongue is your fourth blank. So, what's the point of this intimate action? I mean, what he's doing is pretty intimate. We saw just a week ago that he can have demons be cast out by just saying the word, and he can be 40 miles away, and that happens. And we see him all the time just healing people's blindness with just a word. So why this fingers in the ears and spit on the tongue? Jesus put his fingers into this man's ears. What's your best guess for why Jesus is doing this? Why is he doing this different, putting his fingers in the man's ears? What's your best guess? Maybe because the man could not hear, Jesus may have been using this as a form of sign language to tell this man what he's about to heal, his deafness. Maybe that's it. I mean, the guy can't hear, can't speak, and Jesus takes him off by himself. He's probably a little intimidated, and Jesus gets his attention, and then he shows him his fingers, and then he puts his fingers into his ears and kind of nods, and the guy nods back. After spitting, Jesus touched this man's tongue. Now, this is just strange enough that I thought it was cool and thoroughly enjoyed how Jesus did this. You just got to love it. How do you see this word picture in your mind? So how did he do it? And why did Jesus do this? How did he spit on this guy's tongue? Why did he do this? My best guess is Jesus spits into his palm of his hand, then dips his finger and touches the man's tongue. As I see it, Jesus takes his fingers from his ears. The guy's staring at him intently. He spits into the palm of his hand. He takes one of his fingers, sticks it in there, and then takes it over towards the man's tongue, sticks his tongue out. The man sticks his out. Jesus puts his spit on that man's tongue, and that's when things happen. Could this have been Jesus using a form of sign language to offer this man hope of his restored speech? It's quite possible. It's the best guess I have. So, Jesus heals many. There's intercession, there's aloneness. Now, point three, quietness. Hey, Jesus urged them to keep it quiet. Keep it quiet are your two blanks. Jesus urged them to keep it quiet. So, how do you read the word urged? Other places it was written command. How do you read that? He urged them to keep it quiet. Would it be like a please? Please keep it quiet? I really don't want people to look at me this way. How do you hear him urging them to keep it quiet? Be on your outline, but the people talked it up all the more. And talked more are your two blanks. The people talked it up all the more. These people were beside themselves with excitement. And you got to understand, these guys bring this deaf guy, this mute, to Jesus. And they say, would you please lay a healing hand on him? Jesus takes him off alone. When they come back, here's the guy talking and hearing every word they say. You got to understand the excitement they had. Now, Jesus asked those people not to tell anyone what happened. Why? Why would he tell them not to tell people what happened? Jesus would minister to Gentiles as the needs arose, like here today, but his intention was not to have a public ministry among them. Jesus' ministry was to the Jews first. In the book of Acts, we'll see how that good news spread to the Gentiles as well. These people asked Jesus, has done it all well. Now, these people said Jesus has done it all well. Jesus gives healing to the deaf and speech to the speechless, which is pretty amazing. How do you read those compliments? They sound nice, don't they? He did it well. He even did this to this guy. Do you read that they are totally focused on Jesus' activities? These Gentiles, like many of us, put value in what one does and how well one does it. There is the deception that God's trying to show us. They said, oh, you've done it well. You've even done yada yada. But what we're doing is we're focusing on his activity, the result of his life. The important thing is the good news of the life that is in Christ, flowing out of Christ to do this, not what happens as a result of that. But many of us in the Gentile world put all our value in what one does and how well one does it. That's what we value in the Gentile world. You got to see that, right? But God's not wanting that to be our judgment standard. He wants it to be from the inside. But I do not believe that this message Jesus was trying to communicate to these Gentile regions. Do you? I don't think that's what he was trying to communicate to these people, that he's a miracle worker. Here's my conclusion. What I see here is another illustration of the external versus the internal way of thinking and life pattern. Jesus' love for these Gentiles went light years beyond just healing their physical needs. Is that how you see things daily? Jesus' love for these Gentiles was way beyond, light years beyond, just helping this man to see and hear. His life that he had intended for them to receive on the inside and live eternally is far greater than this guy's physical abilities. So is that how we look at things day to day? We just look at the physical things and how well they're doing and what God seems to be doing? Or are we focused on the truth? The simple truth is that it's being, not doing. It's remarkably easy to become a human doing as opposed to a human being. So I tried to do a play on words there. Maybe that's my Beth wordsmithing for this week. So we are human beings, and in God's design, that's how we should be, a human being involved with him. From the inside, a human being involved in him, and then our life is just being who that is inside. But we get so distracted that we end up being a human doing. And we're looking at what God's doing, or we're looking at what others are doing, or we're looking at what we're doing, and we forget the message that it's not the outside stuff. It's the internal life. What I'm trying to express here in my feeble attempt is that being one is the secret of life. I'm not very good, but a best shot is I want you to see in a feeble attempt that it's being one with God. That's the secret. A human being having God's Holy Spirit within and allowing his Holy Spirit to control our soul so that his will is our will, his thoughts are our thoughts, his emotions are our emotions, and we are not doing this on our own. but we are being one, completely immersed in Christ and allowing that life of Christ to gently flow out of us. Not looking at how it works out, but totally focused on Him being one with the three of them. We are so easily distracted or deceived into seeing and thinking that circumstances are the most important. That's not true. Circumstances are not what's important. We will get distracted by circumstances. Our heart ache for people with chronic illness or the death of a loved one. We'll get distracted by those circumstances. But what God wants us to do is to be stable from the inside, that the three of them combined with us, the one of us, becomes so harmonious. That's what's important, not the circumstances around us. So earlier I asked you to put your name in the blank. Blank lived expectantly on the lookout for the kingdom of God. Can that be the testimony of our faith? That your name lived expectantly on the lookout for the kingdom of God? That's what we're doing? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so delighted with the wonder of the Holy Spirit and Mark recording these events for us, and the power and the wonder of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. It is in the name of Jesus that all the wonderful things happen. It is in the name of Jesus that we put our faith, we put our trust today in Jesus. Amen.
That cost me. Bless God when nobody's watching. Every time. Your name in the morning, every chance I get.